Okay. In part, continuing a little bit from the previous conversation, another presentation from Iowa State University, Alexander G. Lippmann, under Christopher Curry here, looking at daily light integral for a lot of these culinary herbs, including the ones that we were just speaking on. So for light, we usually think about a few different things, whether it's the spectrum of light, which if you were in my controlled environments, I would have been speaking on that, duration for the photoperiod, but also about the amount of photons that you're actually giving a plant. So in other words, the intensity or over time, the integral. So that's what really is going to play a strong part in what's going to be our final mass or yield that we're going to get when we actually grow these plants. And this is an important factor because when you think about daily light integral, it's not something that's going to be constant. In fact, even as we shift around the nation, we'll see changes not only in geography, latitude, but also seasonality. So understanding these factors is going to be a big part in knowing how best to control your practices in your greenhouse. So the objective of this was then to kind of take a look at this of DLI and how this actually affects the production of culinary herbs, and not just one, but several, to kind of get an idea of how best to create a decision support tool for growers in order to make the best decisions on how to grow plants. And with the idea, of course, that we would hope, right, that as you give more light to plants, you'd get more mass, and that also being, of course, species-specific. So we did this looking at several different culinary herbs in order to get kind of an idea of a good representation of several economically valuable herb production crops or species, looking at basil, cilantro, parsley, thyme, sage, mint, oregano, and dill. And these plants were first actually germinated, multi-seeded into phenolic cubes and grown in a growth chamber for several weeks before we brought it into the actual experiment. And for that, we actually used a nutrient film technique, so NFT. And we kind of kept the conditions of the NFTs fairly constant. So try to keep a fertilizer concentration of about 1.5 millisiemens per centimeter using a water-soluble fertilizer, and kept a pH of about 6.0. Water temperature was handled by a heater chiller, so it was easily controlled at about 22 degrees Celsius, as well as the environment for the greenhouse itself, which we kind of targeted at 24 degrees Celsius during the day and 24 at day and 20 at night, regardless of the seasonality, just trying to keep at least one factor, you know, there constant. But then to get really into being able to address the issue of DLI and really get as much data as possible, we divided the greenhouse into different types of treatments. So we did this by the incorporation of shade cloths of two different variations of 33% or 69% reduction in light respectively, or in an NFT system that would have no shading whatsoever. And then we added on supplemental lighting from HPS systems of 1,000 watt, which gave us about 190 micromoles per light, and operated between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. with a small window of between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. where we turned off the light. This is actually very useful because we repeated the experiment five times thus far, and by having that little window with the supplemental lights off, it allowed us to get very good seasonality variation, giving us data from everywhere from 1.9 moles to 19 moles per meter squared per day. And in order to actually know that that was what we were getting, we did have sensors at every system in recording light and temperature. So for the experiment, then, we had three replications. So with each NFT system being one replication of each DLI treatment. So in that case, we had three NFTs without shading and three with the light shades, three with the heavier 69% shading. And for every species, then we were able to transplant four of each species into these systems in order to give us a better sampling of that data for that light level. And then we just designed it as a randomized complete block, blocked by each run, obviously, and then thus far have run it five times since the beginning of this experiment. And then from that data, we were able to run regression modeling, basically either linear or quadratic as was appropriate for that DLI range. So this is basically what it would look like. We had a thermocouple in the middle. Right behind that was the light sensor. All of them were positioned in the same way so as to ensure that there was nothing different about the placement of the sensors for light. And then rows of NFT troughs that were planted with the various species. And this is what it would look like with the whole system, with several systems that are either with shading or not shading, and between each run we would re-randomize, so in other words, decide again which ones would be receiving the shading or not shading, and if it was, then at to what level that shading would be. So, in order to understand exactly what that would help us obtain for understanding if that DLI is causing an effect, we did collect data on height, shoot, fresh and dry mass, as well as trying to understand if there might be any light-mediated stress as we start to get a little bit higher up into the DLI ranges. So we took chlorophyll fluorescence measurements 1 day prior to the accumulation of the project, so as in right before we harvested. So this is a small sampling of actually the ranges which we grew at, but you can see from basal down to mint that, yes, in fact, if you do give more light to plants, they will grow bitter. And we can also see that with just how they've grown. So some of them, such as basal here, we can start to see that linear kind of projection out, as with others that are a little bit less. And you can see that magnitude, though, that is very much species-driven, say, between basil and oregano here, that difference in light will affect, you know, a different amount of mass that you can potentially receive from your lighting treatment. As well as we did begin to see as we got into the further extremes of the experiment that some of the plants were beginning to hit a certain level of diminishing return on that incremental light increase. Additionally, for the dry mass, we saw very similar results too. So just as we would see with the fresh mass, the dry mass would follow. But interestingly, so the chlorophyll fluorescence we saw for many species was fairly unaffected, except for a few that were beginning to show that as we start to get into the further extremes, we're beginning to show some drop in that fluorescence. And by fluorescence, I mean measuring that difference between the initial fluorescence to maximum fluorescence divided by that maximum. So usually when we talk about fluorescence, it's the FV over FM. Here I'm only really presenting the evening FV over FM, but this was measured throughout the day, so the morning, midday, and evening. I apologize, but there's not enough time to present everything. So let's take a look at actually how that would really benefit us. So if we take a look at SAGE, which is also showing that little bit of a diminishing return as we get into the extremes, if instead of going with that quadratic and we focused in on that part that was the linear aspect of that growth, then we can get a very good idea of, say, if we were to increase it by 5 moles, what exactly we would expect to gain in our biomass. And just likely with basil, the same kind of deal, that if we look on that same linear aspect for growth, which for basil is a lot easier because it had still yet to reach a saturation point, those same 5 moles going from 5 to 10 gives us more than twice as much growth. So when we look at that kind of prediction between sage and basil, we can kind of see that in that same 5 moles, where originally we had a small difference of about 48 grams between sage and basil production, that magnitude increases. So it's a question really of, you can grow your species as you like and make lighting decisions for your respective plants, but in the end, what are your main interests? What is your main goal? If it is just biomass, maybe it's also a selection on species that you might be interested in for that footprint, because obviously cultivar and species selection is going to play a big role in how much biomass you can actually produce, and especially when you're going into the ranges of DLI that would be appropriate either in your region or for the amount of supplemental lighting that you'd actually be interested in doing. So, to summarize, the modeling of all these 8 herbs was helpful to kind of find an optimization range for just finding your yield into what lighting magnitude you really could take these onto, and these can be used for prediction models or just making decisions to whether or not it would be in your best interest to continue lighting. And we've noticed that that incremental growth is continuously possible as, you know, you get more light, but to what end? Because for some species, we're already beginning to see that diminishing return on that effect for light, and that is most definitely species-driven. And even though there was some light-mediated stress so far, even though there was a quadratic drop for a species, to this point, that drop in fluorescence does not appear to be very significant. But as we continue to go further, that could be a limiting effect for further growth for these species. So, to wrap up, this is actually still an ongoing project as we'd like to continue getting even further, more extreme. So think of Mythbusters where we figured out the answer, but now we're just going to go way further out. And we're currently trying to see if we can't go beyond 20 moles and see to what point we really start to, well, I'd say saturate, but at what point do I start to kill all the plants? For that, then, I'd like to thank the Department of Horticulture for all their patience, my PhD committee, and everyone that helped me with other grad students and undergrads, as well as those sponsors that graciously donated to my experiments. With that, I believe I have some time for questions. Thank you. Yes. It's okay. You don't need to clap. This one? Ooh, okay. So the question is, as we go into certain DLI ranges, are we, just by looking at these pictures that do look like they're different colors, are we losing any potential oils or chlorophyll? Well, while that wasn't necessarily an aspect that we were measuring in this study, if you go see my LED study, that's most definitely something we did. No, a little bit of the issue that you're actually seeing with these photos is the lab camera that we were actually using for taking these experiment photos. First of all, these are photos that were chopped up from runs over a whole year. While I had some of the photos of the experiments, the lab camera was stolen at one point, and so then we had to switch cameras, and so that does kind of have a small effect on how well the photos kind of came out, because then we had to switch kind of the way that the photos were taken. But I do have to say, though, personally, I didn't really see a huge difference. The only thing that I actually noticed, really going through all of these, is two things. One, as light started to get a little bit higher, both thyme and oregano started to bolt, so they started to flower, which is really something we weren't trying to do. And also, dill started to get a little bit more white, but not because necessarily you'd be losing any oils. In fact, as I noticed from another experiment, that was actually from an increase of just production of oils that were getting on top of it. Yeah, it could be just that. Any one more? Just a quick one. Yeah, proportionality and change percentage-wise, it would be interesting. Although ultimately, we're also looking at the final biomass or weight. So the big issue then would be when you get to revenue per square foot, what the answer would be. Anyways, that's about as much time as I have.